The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
The preaching of the gospel is the greatest privilege we have as regenerated children of God. It's primarily through preaching the gospel that those of God's little lost sheep who've already been born again finally hear and embrace the good news of Christ's finished work. But there's a problem we must consider. What about all those who hear the gospel but don't obey it? While the answer given in the world is that they all die and go to hell, thankfully the Bible answer is that God will save his children regardless of their faithfulness. But there are still consequences for continuing to reject the gospel message. Join us today as we begin to see how important it is for us to believe the gospel and some of the problems that arise for us when we reject it. So in verses 14 and 15, we read about the preaching of the gospel, okay? How then, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 13. Okay, now listen. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, preaching is important. As a matter of fact, the primary purpose of the church is to preach the gospel message, which glorifies God and edifies God's children. Okay? Preaching is important. Now, while we do not believe that preaching of the gospel saves anyone eternally, we affirm here at this church unequivocally that the preaching of the gospel is extremely important because it saves us in a timely sense. As a matter of fact, one of the most important efforts we make as a church or as individuals in this life is the effort put forth to evangelize, that is, to preach and spread the gospel. Brother Joe Holder, again, I want to quote him again on this because it was so good. He said, neither in this context, speaking of here in chapter 10 or of Romans, neither in this context nor elsewhere in his inspired writings does Paul ever belittle the gospel's role as God's chosen vehicle to instruct and to inform his regenerate children. He rather affirms that it is God's power revealed to save believers, back in Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17. But he never indicates that it's God's power to transform unregenerate people into regenerate people, nor that it is God's power to save unbelievers. You see, the gospel's power is only manifest in our lives when we believe it, when we embrace it. We already have the eternal salvation, but if we're still trying to struggle to establish our own righteousness, we're going directly contrary to that new thing that's been created within us. In fact, we are conflicted and we are struggling. So as I said, the purpose of preaching here, we've already talked about it, but look at how he puts it logically. He said, okay, in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Okay, you're not going to call on somebody if you hadn't believed in them. Well, how shall you believe in him if they've not heard? You know, if you don't know, you don't know. You know, one time I had no idea. I thought pie was just, you know, apple or peach or something like that. But pie is actually a mathematical formula, right? It's a mathematical constant. I learned that at one point. I didn't know what pie was other than something good to eat before then. But then I learned. I didn't know, you see. Well, how shall you believe in something if you haven't heard it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? Okay? Now here's the point he's making here. What's the purpose of preaching? Well, it's to go out and preach this gospel to those who have not embraced it, but yet who are already regenerated, and tell them about what's happened to them and what it is that will give them relief and rest in this life. We need to tell them or they may never hear. You know, we don't believe that God is inevitably, that the gospel is inevitably going to get to every child of God that's out there in the world. That's the church's job. That's our job. There may be those, there will no doubt be countless millions of people who've never heard the gospel in heaven. They're out of every kindred and nation and tongue and people, right? I mean, I read about the other day, there's some island, and I've shared it with you already, over in the Pacific, where civilized people are forbidden to go because they are so isolated and they're isolationists. If you show up on their beach, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. There have been some misguided so-called missionaries go there, and they've left in a pine box, as we would say, if they were even able to recover the bodies. But yet in that place over there, that's a kindred, that's a tribe, that's a people. Beloved, I read, if we believe the scripture, that means that there's children of God over there. They don't understand the truth of God's grace. And so we are supposed to go and to preach this pure truth of God's grace to those out in the world who are struggling, and especially those who are going about to establish their own righteousness. That's the context here. Paul's Jewish brethren who are trying to establish their own righteousness. Now think about this for a moment. And I think about this often, Brother Mackey. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to preach. And I'm specifically talking about preachers right now, but listen, you get to preach too. You know, you get to share the gospel. Evangelism is not limited to the preachers. As a matter of fact, it's important that you as a congregation spread the word out there, because there are people that you can touch that I'll never meet. You know, I do my best to share it with as many as I can, but we as children of God, as a congregation, ought to spread the word that there's something special about this message preached down there at Zion Church or over at Bethlehem Church or wherever the truth is preached. But what a privilege it is to do that. And we believe in a called ministry. We don't believe that, you know, a man just decides that's a great vocation. I could be a lawyer, I could be a doctor, I could be a preacher. Let me pick a preacher and I'll go to seminary and, you know, we'll just find me a church somewhere. That's not what we believe. You know, I heard the old saying of there's some people in the world that are preaching, attempting to preach today that daddy called, mama sent, and some just got up and went, right? That's not what we believe about preachers. He says here, how shall they preach, verse 15, except they be sent? That word sent there is the Greek word apostello. Kind of sounds like apostle, doesn't it? You know what it means? One who is sent. It literally means in the verb form to send away or to order someone to go to a place appointed, all right? We read about that throughout the early church, don't we? We're given all kinds of examples of where God made a difference. He separated out certain ones for the ministry. In Acts chapter 13, over there, we read about, beginning in verse 1, it says, there were in this church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Menachem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And look at verses 2 and 3. He said, in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Beloved, there was a separation there made by the Holy Ghost about who should go and preach on this event, this task that they were to be sent to. See, we don't believe that Paul and Barnabas just said, hey, let's flip a coin. Let's just go somewhere. You know, let's just decide what we want to do. We'll flip a coin and we'll take off. You know, there's another place over there where they intended to go. I believe it's over in Acts 16. In Acts 16 and verse 6. Yeah, Acts 16 over here that says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Clearly there were some among their party there that wanted to go into Asia and preach, and the Holy Ghost said, don't go there. That's not where I want you. It says, after they were come to Mysia, and they essayed or intended, tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. There's another place where the Spirit of God said, you're not to go here, and you're not to go there, okay? You know, my inclination, whenever I'm called, whenever I'm asked by anyone to go preach, my first inclination is to go. And 99.99% of the time, when I've been asked to go preach somewhere, I've gone. But there's been a small percentage of times when I always learn to pray about it. There's been a small percentage of times when I would pray about an invitation and it would come back and I just didn't have any peace about it. And that was, I believe, the Holy Ghost preventing me from going, stopping me from going over to this particular place. But here, notice what happened afterwards. He says, and they passing, verse 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. God sent a vision, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I'll never forget when I was still among a different order of Baptists and I was considering whether I ought to join with the Primitive Baptist here at Zion. Elder Ricky Harcrow wrote me a note and he said, Brother Chris, he said, I'm just gonna write to you like the man from Macedonia. Come on over and help us. Come on over and help us. And I've never forgotten that. That wasn't what made the final decision. I was praying to God what to do, but I finally figured out that this was where God wanted me to be. And you know, there were some things I said, well, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about that, but when I realized that God wanted me here, you couldn't have, Brother Mackey would have had to stand at the door with a sword or something to keep me out. It was time to come on over, and the Lord leads us in that way, you see. God, we don't believe in just an up and going ministry. We believe in a called ministry. And by the way, that's one of the burdens that ministers have, is to do the work of an evangelist. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? To go out and save as many as they can for heaven, get more people's names written in the book of life? No, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, that's what a work of an evangelist is. And that's one of the things that I, as an ordained, called minister, and all of you here who are, know that our job is to be evangelists, to preach the gospel to those out there who haven't heard it. That's why I go. That's why I get up on Sunday mornings early sometimes and drive up north and go to Friendship and go to, Brother John Morgan goes to Meadow Branch and other places. It's to preach the gospel. That's the work of an evangelist. That's not something, you got to remember that job was given to the preachers, not to the church itself. It was given to the preachers. God called us to be evangelists, and that we have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And certainly we all should be evangelists. So, the privilege of preaching. There is no greater privilege that I have than to share the good news with God's little lost sheep. Not the goats. Goats not interested in sheep food. I heard Brother Spann, who is my dear former pastor among a different order of Baptists, he said, it's not my job, Brother Chris, to run the goats off. Goats not going to eat sheep food anyway. So it's just my job to feed the sheep. But now we come to, back over in Romans 10, what I call the problem of the gospel. The problem of the gospel. It's been my experience, and I'm sure it's been the experience of every preacher here and all of you that have tried to share the truth of God's word, that not everybody who hears the gospel obeys it. We've already dealt with this extensively in Romans chapter 3, where he said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The answer the world gives is, if you don't believe, you die and go to hell. But what Paul says, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. He said, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, God's covenant is true. We may not, all of his children may not embrace the gospel, but God has embraced them, and they will be in heaven, okay? But this is a problem for some. It was clearly a problem here that he was addressing with the Roman church. For some people, when they think about those who hear but don't embrace the gospel message, so what does Paul say? So, verse 16, but they, he said in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and preach glad tidings of good things. We ought to be thankful for our preachers, and we ought to venerate them in the sense of showing them our thanks. I'm so thankful whenever a preacher comes in who preaches the truth of God's word. I'm so thankful for that. But look at verse 16. He changes gears. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to, now listen to this verse, because this is going to be the transition into chapter 11 that we'll come to next time. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I just want to deal with that briefly, because the world's view of God out in the religious world primarily is of some big Santa Claus that's leaning over the banisters of heaven begging people to come to heaven, okay? Laboring, trying, doing the best he can. And that's not our God when it comes to eternal salvation. He saved his people from their sins. God's not worried about who is in the book of life, because he knows who's in the Lamb's book of life, okay? He put them there. He put them there. But lest we forget, in our daily lives, in our discipleship, God is entreating us. God is stretching forth his hands to us, saying, listen, you're my children, now act like it. And he is grieved. Did you know we can grieve the Holy Spirit? Some teach that, well, you can grieve him by not going to heaven. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not grieved when the wicked go to hell. He's justly condemning them to hell. And he's not worried about his children going to hell. But what he is concerned about is when his children don't act like his children. When we don't treat one another the way we should. When we don't present our bodies a living sacrifice. And ultimately in this context, when we don't embrace the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope of salvation. When we're still going about to establish our own righteousness. And we're going to see that in a moment. I'm going to come back to that. I just want to show that to you because that's going to be the transition into something that is a judgment of God upon the nation of Israel that we need to be careful to avoid ourselves. So verses 16 and 17 tells us, not all who hear the gospel obey it. So what do we do with these? Well, almost all the religious world consigns them to hell. If you don't check the boxes, you're out of luck. But beloved, praise God, Jesus checked all the boxes. And we don't have to check them. I mean, that's not going to get us into heaven, okay? Paul, we've dealt with it, but Paul tackles this head on. He says in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the preaching of the gospel that we ought to embrace when we hear it preached, okay? We ought to, he says, faith cometh by hearing. Now, let me just stop here and say, what kind of faith? What faith, okay? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 says, all men have not faith. Galatians 5:22 tells us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So when we read, let's turn over there just for a minute. Let's just look at that. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, look at this here. Love, joy. I remember reading about a baby who leaped in his mother's womb for joy. A baby named John the Baptist, which tells me, you know, he could have just said the baby moved. You know, we have that. That's a normal thing. A healthy baby in the womb, you'll feel it. Oh, he kicked. He moved. You don't know why. Maybe he had indigestion. I don't know. Maybe mama ate some collards that night before and it made the baby, you know, feel bad. But in the case of John the Baptist, he leaped for joy. He leaped for joy in his mother's womb, okay? All right. You know what that tells us? John the Baptist had the Spirit in his mother's womb. He was born again already. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. Okay, here's a faith that is not a faith that comes by hearing, right? You don't work it. John the Baptist wasn't preached to in his mother's womb, but yet he was born again, and the Spirit is the genesis of that faith, okay? So all men have not faith. Faith originates with the Spirit. That means if you find someone who has faith, they've already been born of the Spirit because the fruit does not bear the tree. The tree bears the fruit. So there's a faith here that does not come by hearing, but rather is implanted by the Holy Ghost at the new birth. But then we read over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Probably a very familiar passage to you as well. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, wait a minute, Brother Chris. You say, you've been telling me all this time that salvation's of God. And now he says, you got to work it out. Well, don't stop reading. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know what he's teaching us here? He's teaching us that there is a salvation that has been implanted, has been worked into us. Okay? And it's that salvation we must work out. And that's the same thing with this faith. The faith has been given to us in the new birth, but we need to work it out. You know, I've said this many times. It's the same example of going to a gymnasium, you know. Back when me and Mason owned the gym down there, Mason, much more than me, would go down to work out. He didn't go down to work out to get muscles. He went down to work out the muscles he's already got. And that's what he's talking about here. We were to work out the salvation that's already been inworked by the Holy Ghost, not in order to get it in the first place, but in order for it to bear fruit in our lives. And that's the faith that he's talking about here. So there's a faith that comes by regeneration, and there's a faith that comes by hearing. If you don't have the first, you'll never have the second. But praise God, everyone who has the faith implanted by the Spirit and the new birth can exercise that faith and grow it. So not all who hear the gospel do that. And here's where we come to as we bring this to a close. There are consequences. There are consequences for continuing to reject the gospel message. Consequences for children of God. Look at verse 18. 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? He said, yea, verily, their sound has gone into all the earth. They've heard it over and over and over. They saw Jesus. He's talking about his brethren, the Jews. They saw him physically here. Some of them, no doubt, were present when he raised the dead or were when he healed people. They heard about it, they saw it, and they continued to reject it. He said, have they not heard? Yeah. He said, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. And they should have known already, according to verse 19, from Moses and the prophets. He said, did not Israel know? He said, first Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. They should have known when Jesus came who he was, just simply from the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus told them in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You go back to Deuteronomy 32, and that's where this quote's taken from. It's taken from the Song of Moses. This is the Song of Moses as they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land. He by the inspiration of God, he shared this song with them, and he said, in the song he lays out God's faithfulness to Israel, and then he details their disobedience beginning in about verse 15. And then in verse 21, that's where he says, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy because you keep rejecting my commands. You're my children, and you keep rejecting my commands. You keep not doing what I tell you to do. And he said, I'm just going to provoke you to jealousy by people that weren't called my people, them that are no people, and by a foolish nation. That's what they thought about the Gentiles. And those out in the world, I'll anger you in that way, you see. There are consequences to disobedience. In fact, just for a minute, let me just turn back over there as we bring this to a close, because chapter 32 Deuteronomy sort of previews the judicial blindness that we're about to read about in regard to the nation of Israel in chapter 11. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll begin in verse 19. Verse 18, he said, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. What a terrible place for children of God to be. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. Listen to this. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward, that means crooked generation, children in whom there is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. How many times did Jesus tell his disciples, I'm not sent to the Gentiles, I'm sent to the children of Israel, I'm sent to the nation of Israel. You remember what Paul said at the end of Acts? He said, because you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They kept rejecting that gospel message. It didn't make them not children of God, but it made them disobedient children of God. And beloved, there are consequences to disobedience. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And he says, but to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Beloved, there are consequences to rebellion against God, even for God's children. They're not eternal consequences when it comes to God's children. These that Paul is talking about, he's not saying they're going to die and go to hell. Oh, but he's saying, please embrace the gospel, the finished work of Christ. because there are consequences to not doing that. If you'll notice, you can turn back sometime. We're not going to do that this morning because we don't have time. Isaiah 65, where this quote comes from. You're going to see that Israel continually provoked God. So guess what? God chastened Israel. That was teaching them leading up to the Babylonian captivity. But now Paul is speaking of the judicial blindness that they will experience because they just keep rejecting the gospel. So to wrap it up, I suppose that all the Jews are in hell today. That's what most people believe. That's what most people teach, right? The answer is no. In fact, we're going to see in verse 1, I say then, if God cast away his people, God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Praise God, he never will. If he foreknew you before the foundation of the world, he will know you throughout eternity. Praise God. But Paul is writing, remember, about his zeal for the disobedient yet regenerate people who are his brothers and sisters according to the flesh. And he's warning us that you can't just keep rejecting the gospel without serious consequences. As we go into chapter 11, we're going to see what those consequences are. There's a judicial blindness to the nation of Israel in general caused by the judgment of God. That doesn't mean that every Jewish person is blinded to the gospel, but it means that God has turned. If you'll notice, most of the spread of Christianity is not through the Jewish nation, but it's through the Gentile world, you see. And there comes a point, you know, where in our lives, beloved, it can apply to us in that way. Not just rejecting the gospel message, but rejecting God's commandments in our lives, rejecting the righteousness which is of faith. You know, there came a point in Jeremiah, you go back and read it in chapter 7 and chapter 14, where God told Jeremiah, quit praying for Israel. It's too late. My judgment is coming upon them. I'm going to be with them through the judgment, but you quit praying that the Babylonians won't come because they're coming. There's a point in our lives, child of God, where if we insist on taking the wheel, he'll say, okay, buddy, you want to drive, I'll let you drive. And you know where I've ended up every time I've tried to drive by myself? In the ditch. And I had to have God to help get me out of it. We do not want to get to that point. And beloved, that applies in a doctrinal sense to those who reject these truths. Beloved, we don't want to find ourselves in that place. There came a point in the history of the nation of Israel where there was a famine. It wasn't a famine of food or a famine of water, but Amos tells us it was a famine of hearing the word of God. I'm afraid this nation may be in that condition now. There's so few places where the truth of God's grace is preached anymore. But beloved, I'm so thankful here at this church. We embrace it, and we ought to continue embracing it, and we ought to live like we are those who are part of that great covenant of grace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.